We're holding on the last line of Vava Mudbeis. Mishnah says Tanan Hasam. Elu Dvarim Cha'en Lahem Shir. We say this every morning. The following things have no shir. Hapeya. Peya, that you have to leave the corner of your field for the poor. Vav Bikurim. Bring Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. Var Oyen. Ra'ayin again has two possibilities. It could mean the actual appearance in the Beis Hamikdash, or it can mean the carbon. We'll talk about that soon. Or Gmilas Chasadim. Gmilas Chesed. Zaka. Of a Talmud Torah and learning Torah. So, Amr Abyechan, Kisvur and Analoima, we would think to say that it means, Hara'oyin, Ein Lashir Lamaila, Ava Yeshle Shir Lamata. That when it comes to Ra'oyin, there's no maximum Shir, but there is a minimum Shir, we would think. Ad Shabarab Oshia Berebi, and Torah of Oshia Berebi, Berebi over here doesn't mean the son of Berebi, doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. Rashi says that Berebi, as it is throughout Shas, means Gobel Bodoro, the great one of his generation. And talk the limit of Ra'oyin, Ein Lashir, Lo Lamaila, Velo Lamata. What it means is the Mishnah, that Ra'oyin, there's no minimum and no, there's no maximum, there's no minimum either. Which actually then, so Tosfos points out from your Rishalmi, that all these things that we're talking about, what we're going to say in a second, the Ra'oyin has a Shiur Madrabana, and that's what we have Rishalmi Basil talking about it, but all these things, there's no minimum and there's no maximum. Peya, for example, Minatora, you could leave one stalk of grain and you've accomplished the mitzvah of Peya. Conversely, you could do as much as you want. You could give your whole field except for one stalk and call it Peya, and it would be considered Peya. Midrabanan, most of these things have a shear. With Peya, for example, the Rabbanan said you have to give at least 1/60th, the Kurim also, etc. Tosfos also points out the interesting thing the Rishalmi asks when you get down to it, that there's a number of other mitzvahs that you can say there's no minimum and no maximum. For example, one of them is, for example, that you burn a parah adruma. You have the ashes of the parah adruma. There's no minimum amount and there's no maximum amount to put into the water. You can put in, it has to be at least enough to, there has to be enough to be able to be visible on the surface of the water, but you can add as much as you want. It'll still be the same parah adruma. The dust that they put into the drink for the saita, the spit of a yavama, etc. There's a number of examples.
A mashu, basically.
Yeah, well, it could be a mashu, but it could also be as much as you want. The answer is the Yerushalmi says the difference is that the difference is both things, there's no, the mitzvah doesn't become greater by doing more. When you have, for example, you know, the Yavama spits in front of the Yavam by Chalitza, he's looking for Gemara, and then he'll go out.
What's the Gemara I need again?
Beta?
You're learning Beta?
No, we're learning Chagiga.
Yeah, Beta is the one. I absolutely blinded me.
So, Rabbi Castell was just here. I didn't see anything.
Oh, he didn't see anything.
No.
I know where
they anyway. The point is like this: when it comes to Gemilas Chasadim, let's say, or Talmud Torah, or any of the ones that I mentioned in the Mishnah over here, he's going to go out in a minute anyway. He's going to close the door. He has our Moshe. Relax. When it comes to the mitzvahs that it mentions here in the Mishnah, if you do more of them, you are making the mitzvah better. You give more peya, you are accomplishing something. You're giving the ones that it lists in the Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim She'Ein Lahem Shir, Peya, Vavikorim, etc. You give more, you are accomplishing the mitzvah in a better way. But for example, with Eifa Para, if you put more ashes into the water, you're not accomplishing anything more by that. The same thing you accomplished of Kiddush Mechatas, with a little bit of ashes, you're accomplishing the same thing with
Tara.
Yeah, there's no increase in Tara. Same thing with all the other ones. So therefore, the Mishnah doesn't mention them. When we say Eilu Dvarim She'Ein Lahem Shir, we mean there's no minimum shear, and there's no maximum shear, as we're saying, but you could add to them, and you have accomplished something important. We don't have to have the door closed, you know.
I think he wants to make sure that the audio...
The audio will be fine.
I know, that's what I'm doing.
Avraham Moshe, leave it, no? It's fine.
No, I'll have it on the phone.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So we're saying there's no shiur lamaila and there's no shiur lamata. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out also when we say gemilas chasadim, there's a difference in gemilas chasadim itself. Gemilas chasadim includes tzedakah, and it also includes gemilas chasadim with your own body, like bitul cholim and so forth. Yudas Hasadim with Tzedakah, there is a limit, 1/5. The Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya that when you're doing, when you're giving tzedakah as a matter of tshuva, then that limit doesn't apply because it's the same as spending money on medicines for your body. But in Etzem Inyan, there is with tzedakah there is a limit. But with Gmilus Chassadim Gufoy, there is no limit, no minimum and no maximum.
In other words, the Gufoy should be tshuva.
No, but Gufoy meaning, for example, Bitul Cholim, Hachnasas Arachim, etc. Those kinds of things. Yeah. Anyway. So we're saying that her ra'oyin ain't le'shir lo'lamayla v'lo'lamata, that the ra'oyin, there's no minimum and there's no maximum. Abo chachamim omrim, or Rashi says actually the girsa should be chachamim omru, but the chachamim said, al omru chachamim, but the chachamim said, her ra'iyya ma kesef fachag yigash tekesef, but there is a minimum for the ra'iyya. The ra'iyya has to be, as Vesilo said, at least worth at least one ma, and the chagiga has to be worth at least two ma. All right, my ra'oyin. When we say in this Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lam Shir, Ha'peir Ba'bikurim Bar Ra'oyin, what is ra'oyin? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Re'iyas Panim Ba'azara. So Rabbi Yochanan says it means actually appearing in the Azara, that there's no minimum and no maximum. In other words, you can come to the Azara during Yom Tov as many times as you want. And right now, the assumption is that means you don't have to bring a korban each time. Rish Lakish Amar Re'iyas Panim B'Korban. And Rish Lakish says it means coming and bringing a korban, that you do have to bring a korban every time you come, but there's no maximum how many times you can do that. So, Umar says, the ikura regal, kulamalai pligi, diriyas panam karban. When it comes to the main part of the regal, meaning the first day of Yom Tov, then everybody agrees that you have to come with a karban. So you're all upon a rekam. Ki pligi vishari maisa regal. The machloikas is on the other days of Yom Tov. And further, the Gemara says, kol heichad asav aisi, if somebody comes to the Bais Mikdash and brings a karban with him, brings a carbon oil with him, and there's no question, everybody would agree that you will accept the carbon from him. You're not going to say it's an issue of baltosif to be bringing more carbonus, more oil here than you have to. Keep pleading to also the IC. The machloikas of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish is if you came to the Bais Mikdash, but you did not bring a carbon. Or can you do that? The Rabbi Yochanan Tzavar Re'iyas Panim Ba'azar. So Rabbi Yochanan saying that when we say Re'oyin, that there's no limit on Re'oyin, means the actual appearance in the Azara. The Kol Ema Sa'asila Tzarech La'asuyah. You do not have to bring a korban every time you come. Eilu Dvarim She'en Lam Shir Ha'Re'oyin. Meaning there's no limit to how many times you can do Re'oyin appearing in the Azara. And you don't have to bring a korban every time and every time for that. Rish Lakish Amar, Re'iyas Panim B'Korban. No, Rish Lakish says that no, it means you actually have to appear with a korban. Re'oyin means the korban Re'iya. To call Amos the Osi, Tzarech La'asuyah, which means every time you come to the Azara, you have to be bringing a korban with you. And actually, Mepharshim point out, according to Rish Lakish, at least at this stage of the Gemara, if you come without a korban, you have not accomplished the mitzvah. Or maybe even you shouldn't, because well, you're upon a reka. I mean, every time that you come, you should be coming with a carbon. The choice this discusses over here is there maybe what are we talking about? If you come multiple times on the same day, that you would have to bring a carbon, or are we just talking about on one day after another? We're talking that maybe all the time. All the times you come on the first day, according to the Shlokish, you have to bring a carbon. The days after, or maybe even according to Rabbi Yochanan, actually, because we're saying the Ikar HaRegel, we're saying that everybody agrees, and Ikar HaRegel means the first day of Yom Tov. So then, in that case, it would come out if you come many times on the first day, you do have to bring a korban each time you walk into the Azara. The other days, Rabbi Yochanan is saying you don't have to. That's one way of looking at it. The Torah Evan looks at it differently. That even if you come many times on one day, not necessarily according to Rabbi Yochanan, would you have to bring a korban each time? So well, you have 7 days for tashlumin, yes. But according to Bishrama anyway, it has to be that way because as we'll learn in the next parak, actually we learned in Beta already, that according to Bishrama you cannot bring an Oilus Ru'iyah on Yom Tov anyway, because it's an Oilah. We'll talk about it soon also. It's an Oilah. You can't offer it on Yom Tov because there's no sort of nefesh in it. There's no food for human beings in it. Whereas Basila holds you can. So yeah, necessarily according to Basham, fine, it'll have to be that way. You come on the first day, you don't bring your oil of Ria, and you bring your shlomim maybe, and then you bring your oil of Ria sometime during Chol HaMoed. even if we went to Meshameh, though, maybe the point would be you have to come with some kind of carbon. You can't just walk in empty-handed. At least it has to be below your own Erekah. Esfer of Rish Lakish L'Rav Yechanan. So Rish Lakish says to Rav Yechanan, asks the question, the Pasuk says, well, you know, upon I rekam, that you, my face should not be seen empty-handed. Obviously that means, every time you come, you have to bring a carbon. Amalai says that it means v'ikir regal. It means on the main part of the Yom Tov. On the first day, it has to be v'lo yirah upon erekam. If you're coming on subsequent days, then not necessarily. Esfer, he asked him another question. A braisa expands on that when it says v'lo yirah upon erekam. It means bezvachim. It means you have to come with a zevach, with an animal carbon. Zvachim, actually, Rashi explains, the word zevach literally means something that's shechted, something that's slaughtered. Which means, therefore, it has to have to be an animal, because birds are not shechted. Birds you do malika. The kohen cuts through its neck with its fingernail.
That's considered rekam.
That would be considered rekam, then, we're saying. That would be considered rekam. It's not, right. So, the Braisa continues, Ata Omer Bezvachim. You want to say that it means that you have to come with a zevach, with an animal korban. Maybe it means that you can come with a bird korban or with a korban mincha. Maybe that's good enough. No, the Braisa says, Vidinu. We can figure it out as follows. We can make a gzeira shava. Nemer chagigla hedyut, but nemer iyla gavoya. We have, Torah says that you have to bring a korban chagiga, which is eaten by the hedyot, and then you have to bring a korban re'iyah, which is going to be eaten, so to speak, by Hashem, which is going to be burnt on the mizbeach. Because, what is it? The Torah is saying that you have to bring a chagiga, as we said yesterday, that chagoysim chag, whenever the Torah says that you have to celebrate a yom tov, means bring a korban chagiga. Then the Torah says, v'layiro ponai reikam, which Rashi says implies, like Hashem is saying, so to speak, I need something too. That would be the Olas Riyah. Which therefore, Ma Chagiga Hamur Lahedyat Beroiloi, just like the Chagiga for the Hedyat is something which is suitable for him, meaning it has to be a Korban Shlomim, it has to be something that the owner is able to eat. After Riyah Hamur Lagaboya Beroiloi, so also the Riyah that goes Lagaboya has to be something that is, has to be something that is completely suitable for Hashem. And it's only logical. It's only logical I skipped a few lines over here. Let me go back a little. The lawyer upon a rekam, the bride says bezvachim, means you have to bring a zevach. After I'm a bezvachim, and I'll be open to maybe it means you can bring a bird or a mincha, v'dinhu, and we can make a hekesh as follows, never chagiga lehedyat, but never re'iyah legaboya. It says that you have a chagiga for the hedyat, and you have a re'iyah for the evishter. Ma chagiga hamur lehedyat zvachim, so just like the chagiga of a hedyat is by definition a zevach, because a korban shlomim, there's no such thing as a korban shlomim from a bird or from a mincha. A korban shlomim of necessity is an animal. After Iyah, Hamur Lagavaya Zvachim. So also, the Re'iyah that said for Hashem has to be Zvachim. So far we've established that, which by the way, actually, the Rambam had a different shita on it. The Rambam writes in Yad HaChazaka that you can be Yotze, the mitzvah of Chagiga, he says that you can be Yotze, the mitzvah of Chagiga, with a bird carbon. And so the Kesef Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah talk about how does that fit with our Gemara over here. They explain, evidently, he had a different girsa in the Braisa over here. He had a girsa of the Braisa that we're not excluding birds, because after all, the Malika of a bird is a form of Zevach. We're only excluding Menachos.
We don't have his girsa
in front of us, right. But nevertheless, that's the halacha. Next. Umahin zvachim. What kind of this is the part that I skipped. What kind of zvachim do you have to bring as a re'iyah? That has to be olus. Now let's go further. After I'm olus to enel shlomim, maybe it means that both the chagiga and the re'iyah have to be a shlomim. The Torah just says, "Well, you're upon a rekam. You can't see my face empty-handed." It doesn't say what kind of korban it is. Could be an olus. Could be a shlomim. Could you? How do you know? Yeah. So Bedinhu, we can figure it out as follows. Nemer chagiga lahedyet for nemer ilagavaya. It says that you need a chagiga for the hedyet, for the commoner to eat. And it says that you need a re'iyah for the gavaya, for Hashem. Again, that it says, v'le yiro panei reikam implies that you have to give me something. Ma chagiga hamur lahedyet beroyla. It's just like the hedyet's chagiga is something which is suitable for him, because the shlomim is something that he can eat. After re'iyah hamur lagavaya beroyla, so also the re'iyah that's for Hashem has to be something that's suitable for him, something that's burned completely on the mizbeach. V'chein bedin, and it's only logical. Shalai yehe shulchan chamole v'shulchan rabach reikam. It's only logical, then, that you should do that this way. It shouldn't be that your table is full, and your master's table, the Eibishter's table, the Mizbeach, is empty. So it's only right, therefore, that if you're bringing a shlomim for yourself to eat, that you should be bringing an ola, so to speak, for the Eibishter to eat.
The ola can be what? Which animals?
Ola can be any of the three domestic kinds of animals. It can be a cow, sheep, or goat. Also, it can be you have an ola of a bird as well. Actually, that's what, when I said before about what the Rambam says, a shlomim, necessarily there's no such thing as shlomim from a bird. The olas re'iyah, the Rambam says, a person can be yotze with a bird.
Shlomim has to be animals.
Shlomim has to be animals, yeah. So anyway, so what do we see from this? We see that the Braisa is just expanding on this pasuk, but specifically the Siach Yitzchak explains the vort is we're saying that you have to be that it shouldn't be that your table is full and the Eivishter's table is empty. Evidently, that applies throughout Yom Tov. Throughout Yom Tov, your table is full of meat because you have the mitzvah of Simcha, which involves eating meat of korbanos. Which at the beginning you have your Shamay Simcha, and then later on during Yom Tov you have various other kinds of Kavanas, as we'll learn on Amud Beis. So it's only logical then that every time you come to the Beis Mikdash, you should be bringing an Ola. Amalai sort of Yechanan says true, but even so, Be'ikara Regal, still, that still even that Braisa is referring primarily to the first day of Yom Tov. Eisvei, he asked him another question. Another Braisa says, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, there's three times a year that the Jewish people are commanded to be early the regal, and he says they cannot be seen by halves. What does that mean? We'll talk about soon what that means. Because it says all of your male, so everybody has to come together. And you can't be seen empty-handed, because it says you can't see my face empty-handed. So again, it seems that there's a particular thing that every time that everybody should be coming all together, and that every time you're coming, you should have a carbon with you. Yeah. Amalek, still the ikar rego. Okay, but even so, even that is only talking about the first day yom.
How do we know it's the Torah regal?
Well, that's what he's saying, because you can't disprove me from this, because none of these things say that it has to be every time throughout Yom Tov. One time when you're coming on Yom Tov, when you have the obligation, every time you have an obligation, each of these Shalosh Regalim, to come to the Beis Mikdash, that time, that time that you're fulfilling that obligation, you have to have a carbon with you. It doesn't mean if you voluntarily want to come to the Beis Mikdash again and again during Yom Tov, that you should have to bring a carbon.
Because logic is not a good tradition, or...
No, obviously Rabbi Yochanan had learned it this way from his teacher, and Rosh Lakish had learned it this way from his, but, Rosh Lakish is trying to disprove Rabbi Yochanan from Mishnayos and Braisos, even a Pasuk, which, if he could prove that, then fine, it would disprove Rabbi Yochanan, and that would be that. But Rabbi Yochanan can say, in each of these cases, that still it is only referring to the first day Yom Tov. Now it's for Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish. Now it's Rabbi Yochanan's turn to challenge Rosh Lakish. The pasuk says we had a few times already Yeroa Yireh that the Shalosh Pom Roshana Yeroa Kol Zchucha, and we darshin it Yireh. Besides what we said at the beginning of the Masechta, that we darshin from that therefore a person who's blind in one eye doesn't have to be Olul Regal. Here's another thing: Ma Ani Bechinam Afatem Bechinam. Just as I see you for free, so you can see me for free. So what does that mean? It means that obviously, the pasuk is still saying v'lo yiro panei reikam, that when you come to the Azorah, you have to be bringing a korban with you. So you're not coming for free. But the Torah is implying that afterward there will be a time when you're able to come for free. Obviously, that must mean other times during Yom Tov.
Or it could mean has to come not just be the first time.
No, well, it doesn't say anything about the first time. The first time, by implication, since it says v'lo panei rekam, we know that there's going to be one time that you have to bring a carbon. But the Bryce is saying that there are times that you can come for free. So obviously, then, it can't be that every time you come into the Azorah you bring a carbon. Ella, so the Gemara says, you're right. Actually, then, let's erase the whole discussion from before. Actually, we have to amend what the machlokes was. If he came to the Beis HaMikdash and did not bring a carbon, then everybody agrees that he can come in, he can be seen in the Beis HaMikdash, and he can leave without having to bring a carbon. That's what we're saying. Not the first time necessarily, but any of the other times, you're able to come in for free. There's no entrance fee. On that, he pligged the osav icy. The machloikus, rather, is what if a person did come a second or a third or a fourth time and brought a carbon with him? That's the machloikus. Do we allow him to bring that carbon?
The second time
or third or whatever, yeah. Which, by the way, you know, when we're saying over here, Ella, there's a note over here on the side in Masoret HaShas that refers to Tosfos in a couple of places. Effectively, what the Gemara has just done is, we said, here we have this whole argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, where they're both challenging each other with Psukim and Brisos and whatever. It comes out we're saying that discussion never took place because that wasn't what they were arguing about. They were arguing about a different kind of thing. So when the Gemara says Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish, doesn't mean literally they actually had this conversation with this Medrash. It means the Gemara is putting these words in their mouth. Given that we assumed at the beginning
given that we assumed initially
that Rabbi Yochanan had said that you don't have to bring a carbon every time and Rish Lakish did, then we draw out the conclusions of it and we put in their mouth what they would have said to each other to challenge us. But not if you had ever gone with a tape recorder into the Beis Medrash, you never would have heard them actually having this discussion because it was a different, because the Machlokes was actually at a different point. We find that in some places where the Gemara says that somebody said such and such, and it's not that he never said those exact words, but he said something from which we can infer that he would have. We had a few times in the Gemara the idea of lav v'kedush itmar ela miklala itmar, that it wasn't he said that so and so didn't say something explicitly. We just deduce it from something else that he said. So the machloikus is now if a person came one of the other times, one of the extra times, and brought a carbon.
Before it was, can he bring less?
Now it's can he bring more, right. So Rabbi Yochanan, Da'amah Re'iyas Panim Ba'azara, Rabbi Yochanan says that Re'oyin, the Eilu Dvarim Shein Lamshir, Re'oyin, which means appearing in the Azara, which means he says Re'iyas Panim Hu De'en Lamshir. Appearing in the Azara, there's no limit. You can appear, you can come into the Azara as many times as you want. Halakorban Yesh Lashir, but the carbon does have a limit. You're not allowed, he says, to bring the carbon re'ia, the oilus re'ia, more times during the yomtiv, because it would be baltosis. But Rish Lakish amar re'ias panim b'carbon, whereas Rish Lakish now says that no, re'oya means coming and appearing with a carbon. Dafka v'carbon nami ein l'shir, that even the carbon, there's no limit. You can come as many times as you want. You don't have to bring carbon each time, we establish that, but if you want, every day or whatever, it's throughout, many times throughout yomtiv, to come repeatedly to the Azara and each time bring an oilus re'ia, you can do that. So now, when we say this tomorrow morning in davening, we'll have a deeper understanding of what it really means. So now, Rabbi Yochanan asks on Rish Lakish, so you're saying that he can bring the carbon as many times as he wants. What about, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that goes like this, keep your feet light from the house of your friend. The simple meaning of the pasuk is, like, in other words, don't always go, you know, trying to go visit your friend at his house. Eventually, he'll get tired of you. But that's how the pasuk finishes off. That eventually he'll get sick and tired of having you around. But we darshan it to mean that you should keep yourself away to a certain extent from the Beis HaMikdash. How is the Beis HaMikdash? Rashi says that Mebeis Re'echa means Hashem is called our friend. Laman Achai V'Re'ai. well, in that sense. But Rashi says that that's what the pasuk means. L'man achai v'ro'eh, for the sake of my brothers and friends. That's Hashem speaking. Rashi says, what are you talking about? That's David HaMelech speaking in the kapitel. But there's other pesukim where we see we learned in Shabbos the famous story with Hillel and with Hillel and the Ger, when he tells him Daloch Sani Lachavrach Leisavid, this is the whole Torah and the rest is commentary. Go learn it. Rashi says over there, mitzvah shemidonim lachaveira. Of course we get from that. How do we get mitzvah shemidonim lamakim? Because we should relate to the Eivishter as a friend. You wouldn't want to do something your friend doesn't like. You also shouldn't do something the Eivishter wouldn't like. And therefore, so that we see that the Eivishter can be called, in that sense, your friend, your colleague, so to speak. There's a medrash that says that, you know, on one level Hashem calls us his daughter, and on another level he calls us his sister, and on another level he calls us his mother. You know, there's a lot of different ways we relate to Hashem, and there's a certain way in which, so to speak, we're mashpia to Hashem. That's that we're on an equal level with Hashem, like a brother and a sister. That's in Chassidus. In many places, it talks about these different levels. Yeah. Anyway, so we see the pasuk is saying that make yourself scarce from your friend's house, meaning the Beis Hamikdash. In other words, you shouldn't be coming in all the time and bringing korbanos. You shouldn't. So what is Rish Lakish saying? Every time you come, go ahead and bring a korban. The pasuk seems to be implying that no, you should make yourself scarce. The answer is Hasim Achatoyes Vashamis. That's talking about as far as bringing a korban chatos or a korban asham. Yes, you should make yourself scarce from bringing those in the sense, don't do averus. Then you can end up having to bring a chatos or an asham. Doesn't mean other kinds of korbanos. Kidder Ablevi, and this is like what Rav Levi said. Dir Ablevi Rami, because Rav Levi pointed out a contradiction between Pesukim. Ksiv Hoyfu Ragacham Beis Re'echa. One pasuk says that you should make your feet scarce from your neighbor's house, meaning the Beis Mikdash, Uchtiv, but a different pasuk in Tehillim says, Ovid Beis Chaba Oilus. David says to the Eivishter, I will come to your house with Oilus. So what is it? Is it a good thing or not to be bringing a lot of korbanos all the time? And the answer is, Loikasha, Tan v'chatoris v'ashomais. One is a chatas or an ushem, which you're bringing because of an aveda. Better you should make yourself scarce. Better you should work hard. You should work harder on yourself not to do these things, so you don't have to bring those korbanos. Tan v'Oilus v'shlomim, as opposed to Oilus v'shlomim, which you're bringing voluntarily. Those you can bring as many as you want. Paninami Hachi, we learn like that on Braitha also, when it says Hikir Raglacham Beis Re'echa, make your feet scarce from your friend's house. Bachatoris Vashomas Akatsa Vadabra, the prophet is talking about Chapas and Asham. After Omer Bachatoris Vashomas Ein Elab Oilus and Shlomim, maybe it means even that you should make yourself scarce, don't bring a lot of Oilus and a lot of Shlomim. No, true. Omer Ober Beis Chab Oilus. The prophet says, I will come to your house with Oilus. Ashalam Lacham Adorai, I will pay to you my vows. You mean that he vowed to bring a shlomim, for example. Hare olus shlomim amr. So that implies that olus and shlomim are a good thing to be bringing all the time. Homani mekayim hoker agachom beitzer echa. So what does the pasuk about making yourself scarce mean? B'chatoyis v'ashom esachos v'daber. So that's no contradiction to Rish Lakish. You can yes, a person can be coming many times to the Beis Hamikdash during each regel and bringing as many olus to the ear as he wants, and that's not violating this idea about making yourself scarce.
Yeah.
The Braisa that we quoted before, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda had said that he mentioned the Shalosh Regalim, and he said, "Ve'ein nirin chatzoyin." He said, "You're not to be seen in Beis Hamikdash by halves." Now, what does that mean? So, Rabbi Yosef thought to say that it means like this. It means that all of the when we say kol zechurcha, that all the males, meaning that everybody has to come up at the same time. So, for example, man ve'isle asara banim, if somebody has ten sons, loy lisku hoidin chamisha olam achav chamisha, that he should not have the five of them are going to go up to the Beis Hamikdash today and five tomorrow. All ten of them should be coming at the same time. Maybe that's what he means, that you shouldn't be seen l'chatzoyim. No, but that's just what I'm going to do then. He can be telling them when they should go. I don't know. I mean, okay, maybe we are talking about little children. It doesn't really matter for our purposes. The point is that if we're talking about the Chiyuv Min HaTorah, the Chiyuv Min HaTorah doesn't include children anyway. We said the other day that Kol Zechorcha is only, that Kol Zechorcha including children is only an Asmachta. If we're trying to learn it from Ve'en Nirin Chatzoyin, B'Pashtos, it means that we're talking about the Chiyuv Ve'araisa, so we must be talking about adults. But Amalei Abaya says, well, of course, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that. Hey, minayim, a Shabbos lo poshim. Which ones, after all, are you going to say should be poshim, should be the careless ones? Obviously, you want that everybody should be as zoriz and should be getting to the Beis Mikdash as soon as possible. Why would you need the pasuk to be telling us that you shouldn't be doing that? Which ones are you going to establish as poshim, as careless, and which one is as zrizim, as the zealous ones? Obviously, you want all of them to be quick to do the mitzvah. Ela krolamayo. Rather, what does the pasuk come to teach us? It comes to teach us l'chad acherim. It comes to teach us what the acherim taught. The Tanya, as we said in Braisa, we have this a few days ago. Acherim omrim hamakamet, the person who collects. We said dog excrement to use for tanning. Vamakranif nechoshes, and somebody who mines and refines copper by the who smelts copper by the mine, where he's very smelly. Vabursi and a tanner, turin minariya. They are all part of the Ria. We said Shinema Kol Zechurcha. Here is where we use the word Kol Zechurcha, meaning Mish Yochalalis and Kol Zechurcha. Somebody who is able to be Oilo Regal together with all the other males. Yatsu Eilo Shein Yochalalis and Kol Zechurcha, as opposed to these guys who can't because of the smell. So that's what we mean. V'loi Ve'en Nirin Lachatzoyin means people who the only way they're going to be able to come to the Beis Mikdash is in a small group of people who are in the same line of business or whatever. They are part of from Aliyah Regal. Because the only people who are chayav are the ones who would be able to come together with the whole crowd. And we talked the other day, is this actually the halacha? The Rambam actually says that in a way yes, in a way not. The halacha is these guys are responsible to get themselves cleaned up and then be olu l'rego. We talked about, does that mean that if they didn't, then they are proper, or. So again, you asked that the other day. I mentioned that. I mean, if we're talking about a smell of excrement or whatever, then yeah, you're not allowed to daven near there. So then necessarily, yeah, they'd have to clean themselves up beforehand. If we're talking about a smell, for example, from a copper mine, then no, there's no issue of davening near that. Unless if the smell bothers you, that's a different matter. Move to the other end of the shoal.
You're mining, your face is black, or your hands are black.
So you should clean yourself up. Sure. You should. You're supposed to prepare yourself for davening. But if you can't, Mishnah says, Oilas v'moyed boris menacholin, korbanos oila on the moyed, which sounds like it means cholamoyed, have to come from cholin. Now the basis of what we're going to be talking about over here and in the Gemara is as follows. There's a general rule. When you chayev in something, you have to bring it from your own funds. If you chayev a certain kind of carbon, for example, then you have to use money that belongs outright to you. You can't say, for example, I have Maaser Sheni money, which I have to bring up to your shalayim and then use it. I may as well use it to buy my chatas there, for example, which I'm already obligated in for having done something that's chayav chatas. You can't do that. Because since you're chayav to bring that chatas, you have to bring it out of your own money. And that Maaser Sheni money is not your own. It's already mamon gavoya. It already belongs to the Eibishter. Yeah. So what we're saying is, therefore, that the oila, so far it sounds like we're gonna explain in the Gemara what it actually means, but it sounds like the oila that you bring has to be minacholin. It has to be because it's a chayv on you. You have to bring it, and therefore you have to bring it from your own money. Vashlomim mina ma'aser, but the shlomim you can bring from ma'aser money. And again, we'll discuss what exactly that means. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. What about on the first day of Pesach? Beshama says that your shlomim have to be from chulin, and Beshul says they can be from mice. Why are we singling out the first day of Yom Tov? That's yet another thing we'll talk about in the Gemara. Continue the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah is sort of switching gears and is going to be talking about the Shalmei Simcha. Actually, when we said before shlomim mina mice, the Gemara is going to explain it was also already talking about the Shalmei Simcha, not the Shalmei Chagiga. Okay, remember, we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara had said, there's three chiyuvim you have on Yom Tov. Re'iyah, Chagiga, and Simcha. So Re'iyah is you appear in the Beis Mikdash and you bring your oil of Re'iyah. Chagiga is you bring your carbon Chagiga, and it's a Shlomim. And Shalmei Simcha is you bring a Shlomim, and you eat meat, and you accomplish the mitzvah of Simcha by eating the meat of the Shlomim. The point is, That what the Mishnah is saying is this mitzvah of simcha, when it comes to the ola and the chagiga, sure, those are a chiyuv on you. You have to bring them from cholin. But when it comes to simcha, all the mitzvah of simcha is you have to eat the meat of a carbon, the simcha. There can be any kind of carbon. It doesn't have to be a carbon that you shechted specifically for this purpose. It could be a carbon that you had to bring for some other reason anyway. And now you're using that meat and you're bringing the kind of mitzvah of simcha with it. The thing is, I mean, you have the mitzvah of simcha throughout Yom Tov. You have the mitzvah of simcha throughout Yom Tov. So you can't just say, for example, I'm going to bring a shlomim the first day of Yom Tov. That only covers the first 2 days. You still have 5 more days to go. So throughout Yom Tov, you have to be eating. You have to be the simcha. But that's the point. That meat that you're eating in order to be mekayim simcha does not have to be from a shlomim specifically. So therefore, Yisrael yotzin yidei chavasim in a dorm and a davis. A Yisrael can be yotza this mitzvah of simcha with any kind of carbon. For example, in the dorm and a davis, carbonus that they vowed to bring long before. We learned in Rosh Hashanah that when a person promises to bring a carbon, whether he promises a neder is when he says, I promise that I will bring a carbon, and then afterwards he designates an animal for it. A nedava is he says, I promise to bring this animal as a carbon. Either way, we learned in Rosh Hashanah, we had a whole machloikas over there in the first few pages of Rosh Hashanah about how long you have and how much time you have till you have to bring that carbon before you're over on Bal Ta'achar. One Yom Tov, two, three Yom Tov in order, etc. We had all the different opinions over there. The point is, it would be a normal thing that, for example, you're standing sometime in Tavis, and you say, I promise to bring a carbon. You're not going to bother going to the Beis Hamikdash right there in the middle of the winter. You'll wait until Pesach, and you'll bring that carbon with you, and then offer it there. So therefore, you can do that. You can be Yotze Simcha with that. Over Ma'aseh Behemah, and you can also use Ma'aseh Behemah for that purpose, which Ma'aseh Behemah, same idea. You take your Ma'aseh, you put your animals in the pen, you designate the tenth, every tenth one is Ma'aseh Behemah. Again, you don't necessarily go up to the Beis Hamikdash right away with that. You wait until the next Yom Tov, and then you offer it to the carbon, and as we say in Ezer Mekoyman, Ha'Ma'aseh L'Chol Adam, everybody can eat the Ma'aseh Behemah.
Designate way, way before.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The Kohenim can be Yotze the mitzvah of Simcha with. They can be Yotze with any of these things also. But in addition, they can be Yotze with Chatoris Vashamis, with a Chatos or an Asham, the meat of the. A person comes to Yerushalayim, you know. 2 months ago, he did something that makes him chayiv chatos. He's waiting until Yom Tov when it's more convenient and brings his chatos then. The kohenim get the meat. Fine. The kohenim can now be yotze simcha with that, or an asham, same thing. Over what? Well, chalamayin. Yeah, you can't bring them on. Yeah, right. When I said Yom Tov, I meant Yom Tov generically. I mean chalamayin. Yeah. Over b'chor and also with a b'chor, which b'chor is eaten by the kohenim. With the chaz of a shayk, the pieces that they get from the shlomim, the breast and the thigh. So all of that, the kohenim can be yotze with that, because all of those are meat from korbanah, so it doesn't matter what kind of korban it was. But they cannot be yotze with bird korbanos or with menachos. Now here, even the Rambam agrees with that. But before we said that Rambam holds you can be yotze your oilus ear with a bird, because they had a different girsa in the braise over there. Here, everybody agrees this, and the reason is Rashi says because the mitzvah of simcha requires that you're eating meat in a way that will satisfy you. You don't get satisfied from eating bird meat. I don't know, but it's not the same kind of thing as red meat versus yeah. And similar with menachah, I mean, you could argue menachah also. Menachah, a kovim mincha, it's flour after all. I mean, it would fill you up, but it's not the same kind of soiva. It's not the same kind. You don't feel the same kind of simcha from eating it. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks. The Mishnah had started off that olos an chalamoyed come from cholin. What does that imply? Ela olos b'moyed hu d'boros min acholin ha b'yomtim min amayse. What does that mean? If you bring your korban ola on chalamoyed, it has to come from cholin, but if you bring it on yomtiv, on the first day yomtiv, then you can bring it from maiser money. Why? Amay, dover shebachoyvehi. We just established that the olos re'iyah is something that you're obligated to bring. V'chol dover shebachoyveh ene b'olam min acholin. Anything that you're obligated to bring has to be brought from cholin. From cholin money. You can't use maiser sheni money for that to fulfill your obligations. V'chi tema, so you might want to say, okay, hakama shmolan, the Mishnah is, what the Mishnah does not mean to distinguish as far as the chulin issue. Maybe what the Mishnah is trying to say, the olus v'moyed bois, b'yom tov einin bois, maybe the Mishnah is trying to tell us, the olus, whenever they come, have to be from chulin. But by the way, the olus cannot be brought on yom tov, only on chol moed. So that would be, in other words, we'd say the Mishnah means that the Ola, primarily the Mishnah is trying to tell us that the Ola has to be from Cholin. Incidentally, the Mishnah is telling us, you should know, by the way, that Ola cannot be brought on Yom Tov.
Why is that?
Well, the problem with that is, Kaman Kibis Shammai, who would that be like? That would be like this Shammai. This man, as we learned in Beitza, and then later in this Masechta, Shammai says you can bring Shlomim on the first day of Yom Tov, but you cannot do smicha on them, because they hold that they hold two things. They hold that, well, smicha first of all involves leaning on the animal. So it's often midrabanan because you're making use of an animal. Well, so that's the thing. They hold the chachamim did not take away that gzera, that shavus, even in order to bring a korban, because we'll learn in the next parak, because they hold the smicha does not have to be done right before you bring the korban anyway. So do the smicha erev yom tov. And then, fine, you can bring the korban on Yom Tov. Avaloy olus, but they say you cannot bring olus at all. We learned in Beitza, because when the pasuk says hulavada yo'asa lochem, that only oichal nefesh can be done for you, we learned there. But Shammai says that lochem means lochem v'loy legavaya. It means you can only do things that are for yourself, not for the Eivishter. You can't bring olus because you don't eat any part of them. After that, now that's the thing. They're saying the olus re'iyah has to be brought on Chol Hamoed. That's exactly it. They're saying, when you come to the Beis Mikdash for the Sholosh Regalim, you can bring your Shamash Chagigah on Yom Tov, fine, because you're going to be eating from it. That's Melech HaSeichel Nefesh. You cannot bring your Ola that day. You have to bring it the next day. Because it's Tzorech Gavaya, because it's not for you. It's not for you. It's for the Eivish day, yeah. So that's why, this is actually why the Alter Rebbe explains in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara that we had there in Beitza, that even though technically Beis Hillel disagreed with this and said that you are allowed to bring the Ola on Yom Tov, in practice, most of Beis Hillel tended to follow Beis Shammai in this and wait with their Ola till after Yom Tov. Because of that, the day after Shavuot has a special status in Halacha. It's called, we'll learn about it in the next parak, actually. It's called Yom Tvayach. It's called the Day of the Shechting. Because on that day, most of the people, everybody from Beis Shammai and most of Beis Hillel, would be bringing their Ola's Re'iyah that couldn't be brought on Yom Tov. Instead, they would bring it that day. And because of that, Isru Chag Shavuot has a special status among the Isru compared to the Isru Chag of other Yom Tovim. There's a minhag that on the Isru Chag of other Yom Tovim, we don't say tachton, we don't respect him and so forth, but it's a minhag, not halacha. When it comes to Shavuot, it's an actual halacha. That Yom Tovayach, this day after Shavuot, is restricted from Malacha and from Aspedim and from Aspedim and Tainis and so forth because of this, because it was the day when everybody would be bringing the Ola Sriya.
Second day is Shavuot?
Well, in Eretz Yisrael, of course, they only had one day Shavuot, so Yom Tovayach would be the seventh day of Sivan. For us, it's the eighth day of Sivan that has that din. Minag Ashkenaz is that they don't say Tachnun only during the first 7 or 8 days of Sivan, 7 days in Eretz Yisrael, 8 days in Chutz La'aretz, for that reason. But after that, they continue saying Tachnun. Our minag is that no, we wait until the twelfth of Sivan because we add the days of Tashlumin as well. We don't say Tachnun, but yeah, everybody agrees that you wouldn't say Tachnun on the eighth of Sivan because of this, because Yom Tovayach. We'll learn about it next week, Be'ez Hashem. Anyway. So if we were to say that our Mishnah is implying that the Ola cannot be brought on Yom Tov, that would be according to Beis Shammai. Or Beis Hillel, maybe in Shlomim Ba'olus, the same with an Alein. Beis Hillel says you can bring both the Shlomim and the Olus on Yom Tov, and you can do Smicha on them. Because they hold, yes, Smicha is also Midrabanan, but they say the Rabbanan did not make this Gzera to not do Smicha on them. They waived that Gzera in this case because Beis Hillel holds, taketh the Smicha Shchita, that the Smicha has to be done right before the animal is shechted. So therefore, you can't do the Smicha a day before, like the Shammai says. Necessarily, you have to do it on that day. If the Rabbanan were to uphold their Gzera and say you can't do Smicha, would mean you wouldn't be able to bring Karbanas on Yom Tov. They didn't want that, so therefore they waived it. Again, so we don't want to say our Mishnah is according to Beis Shammai. Ordinarily, we don't want to say a Stam Mishnah is according to Beis Shammai when the Halacha is not like him. So what does it mean when the Mishnah says that the Ola comes on the Moyed, which implies not on Yom Tov? The answer is Chasuri Mechzura. The Mishnah is missing words. V'Hachi Katani. It means to say like this. Olos Nedorim and Nedavos. Olos that are a voluntary thing that you vowed or you donated, Bamoyed Bois, those can only be brought on Yom Tov. B'Yom Tov Einin Bois, they cannot be brought on Yom Tov, because even Beis Hillel agrees that Nedorim and Adavis can't be brought on Yom Tov. The Olos Re'iyah is one thing, because it's a chiyuv for Yom Tov. Yes, you have days to make it up, that's what the Shammai argued to them, but Beis Hillel says, okay, after all, the Ikur chiyuv is supposed to be on the first day. But a Nedorim and Adavis, even Beis Hillel agrees you can. So b'yomtiv ainin bois, but olas re'iyah ba filo b'yomtiv. But the olas re'iyah can be brought even on yomtiv, according to Beis Hillel. But uchshiba, but when it comes, or any kind of ola is brought. Actually, that's why Agarot changes it to the plural shehein boin. When any kind of ola is brought, if any ainin ba el emin acholin, it can only be brought from cholin. Whether we're talking about the olas re'iyah, or whether we're talking about the Olas Re'iyah, or whether we're talking about the Dorim Adavis, in all cases, it's something you're required to bring already, therefore it has to be from Cholin. You can't use Ma'aser Sheni money for it. We're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about tomorrow that actually with some of the karbonos, specifically when it comes to the chagiga, that you're allowed to combine together Ma'aser Sheni money with Cholin money. The chiddush is, with the oila, you can't do that. You can combine it. But with the oila, you can't even combine it. Because the difference is, the shlamim, at least, you're eating some of it, so therefore, you're still, ma'aser sheni money has to be used for food. Last week's parasha, when it said, by vidui ma'aser, lo yachalti ba'oni b'menu, lo bi'ayti menu b'tomi, lo nasati menu l'meis, lo nasati menu l'meis means you're not allowed to use ma'aser sheni money for anything other than food or drink or bodily necessities. Bodily necessities, like you can use it to buy oil to smear on your skin or whatever, but you can't use it for an oil then because you don't eat any part of it. But that's what we're saying. Unlike the chagiga, where you're able to do what's called tefillah, you're able to combine together ma'aser sheni money with cholin money, but you can't do that with the oil. And Rashi says there's a reason why. There's another reason why not anyway. Why should you have to bother? The ola, we said, according to Beis Hillel, which is the halacha, the ola sri'iyah only has to be worth a ma anyway. There's no reason to combine together money. A ma is a small amount of money anyway. Yeah. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. The shalmei simcha boin af min ha-maiser. However, when it comes to the shalmei simcha, again, not the shlomim of the chagiga, that's a different thing, but the shlomim that you're bringing in order to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, that they can come also from maiser, because we said that in any case, say, all you need to have is meat of a korban. So fine, you're allowed to use maiser sheni money to buy an animal for a shlomim and bring that as a korban. So very well, you can use maiser sheni money for that purpose. And then the Mishnah continues. V'chagigas yom tov edition shal Pesach. Now, when it comes to the chagiga that you bring on the first day Pesach, that we have that b'shama emim min acholin or b'tzolim min ha-maiser. The b'shama says you have to bring it strictly from cholin, and b'tzolim says from maiser. So that's what the Mishnah means. Once we add in the missing clauses, then we understand what the Mishnah is telling us.
From maiser, even from maiser.
Well, obviously you can bring it from cholin if you want, but you can bring even from maiser if you want. Which, as we'll say tomorrow, doesn't mean you can bring only from Ma'aser, but it means you can combine. You can do this tefillah. Tani Nami Hachi, we learned similarly in Braisa, exactly like the way we amended the Mishnah. Oilus and the Dorim and Davis Moyed Bois, oilus that are voluntary or donated, you can bring on Cholomoyed, be Yomtev and Bois, but you can't bring them on Yomtev. But oilus Re'iyah Ba, Philip Yomtev, but an oilus Re'iyah can be brought even on Yomtev, like the Tzillah says. Ocha Shehi Ba, Shehein Boin, when they're brought, Einem Ba, Elam and Acholin, they can only be brought from Cholin. The Shamay Simcha Boin Achmin Amaisa, but the Shamay Simcha can also be brought from Maisa money. And the chagigas yom tov edition shal Pesach v'shamay min acholin v'tzolim min ha-maiser. Now the question is, ma'ishna chagigas yom tov edition shal Pesach? What's the difference? Why are we singling out the chagiga of the first day Pesach? Wouldn't the same thing apply to the chagiga of every one of the shalosh regalim? Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says. Now remember, we learned in Pesachim that besides the three korbanos we're talking about over here, not three korbanos, besides the three chiyuvim we're learning about over here, we learned in Pesachim there's another kind of chagiga that is unique to Pesach. You have to be able to eat not the carbon Pesach, that's a different, that's another thing. But with the carbon Pesach, ordinarily you bring a chagiga, because you had to be able to eat the Pesach a la sofa, you had to be able to eat the Pesach on an almost full stomach. This is, you know, nowadays we do this by, we eat the meal, we eat Shulchan Aruch, and then we eat the apokovin at the end, Zeichel the Pesach. So they had to do the same thing. So when you had a lot of people signed up for the Korban Pesach, so that each person is only getting a small amount, then you would bring a Korban Chagiga with it as well. And we talked about you wouldn't defer Pesach with Shabbos, etc., all the details over there. Anyway. So the point is that when it comes to Pesach specifically, we have to distinguish between two different kinds of Chagiga. One is Chagigas Abba'asa, which you bring on the 14th, along with the Korban Pesach, and the purpose of it is you eat it that night, along with the Pesach. And we even had an opinion over there. We had the opinion of Ben Kamer, who says that it has the same dinim as the Pesach, as far as that you can't eat it after midnight, and it has to be roasted, etc. And then you have the Chagigas Chamisha, also the regular Chagiga that you bring as you would bring on every other Yom Tov.
During the day?
During the day, yeah, on the day of the 15th, yeah. So, Amar Rav Ashi, HaKamash Malon, what the Mishnah is trying to tell us, it's not trying to distinguish between Pesach and the other Yom Tov. It's trying to distinguish between Pesach and Erev Pesach. Chagigas Chamisha also Ein, that the Chagiga of the 15th, yes, you have to, that the Chagiga of the 15th is what Vasilil is saying, that you can bring, that you can bring it from Maisa money. Chagigas Abba also Loi, but the other way around, sorry. The Chagiga of the 15th itself is what Vishamai is saying, that it has to be brought Min HaCholin, because it's a Chiyuv, because you have a Chiyuv to bring a Chagiga, and if it's a Chiyuv, you can't bring it from Cholin. The Chagiga Sabah also lie, but the Chagiga of the 14th, that even Beit Shammai would agree that you're allowed to bring it from Maaseh money, because it's not really a Chiyuv. You're only doing it in order to be able to eat the Pesach Alaf Sofer. It's not really a full-fledged Chiyuv. Well, right, that's the idea, because you're eating it that night. But it's not a full-fledged Chiyuv, like the Chagiga's Chamisha Aser, and therefore even Beit Shammai agrees you can bring it from Maaseh. Right. Alma Kosova, Chagiga's Abba also lab deraisa, which goes to show that they hold that that having to bring the Chagiga on the 14th is not a Chiyuv deraisa. Since it's not a Chiyuv, then you can bring it from Maaseh Sheni money.
You have to bring it, let's say you have a Sevilla.
That's what we said. That's why we said that only if you have, you only bring a Chagiga if there's a large group of people, so each person's only getting a small amount. And we said there's other things. Yeah, and it's not Shabbos, and not Tomei, etc. Yeah. But so it's more of an optional thing, kind of, and therefore, since it's optional, then fine. You can use Maaseh Sheni for it, just like you would use Maaseh Sheni for money for any optional thing you wanted to eat. To summarize real quick, I was talking with one of the other Magidish Yerim here in town, and he mentioned that it's a good idea to give a quick 1-minute summary at the end of what we learned to help remember it. So we learned the meaning of the Elu Dvarim Shein Lam Shir, what it means that these things have no Shir, Deraisa, Derabanan. We talked about what Ra'oyin means. Does it mean there's no limit to the number of times you can appear in the Bais HaMikdash, or does it mean there's no limit to the number of Korbanos you can bring? And we had a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about it, and we wound up saying that, according to Rish Lakish, which actually is the Halacha, that as many, you can bring as many Korbanos as you want throughout the Yom Tov. There's no limit to the number of Korbanos. The Ra'oyin has no Shir, in the sense you can bring as many Korbanos as you want throughout the Yom Tov, throughout the days of Chol HaMoed. And then we said that the Acherim said that the people who are smelly don't have to be Ola Lebegel. And then we talked about which korbanos can be brought on Yom Tov versus Chol HaMoed. According to Basil, all of the obligatory ones can be brought on even on Yom Tov, according to Beis Shammai, not the Ola. And we said which one, we discussed which ones can and can't be brought for Maaseh Sheni money.